As we prepare our hearts for worship this morning, the psalmist says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And that's where we begin this morning, with thy word. Would you stand with us as we sing joyfully this morning to the Lord?
Well, Well, good morning.
Morning.
We're so glad that you're here today and braved the fog and got here safely. Just a little bit of an announcement. If you drive a blue Ford Explorer, your lights are still on. So there you go. There's your warning. We are so glad that you're here. If you're a guest with us this morning, in the pew in front of you is a bright yellow card. If you would, please fill it out and either turn it into the offering plate, or we have a special gift for you. If you'll go down to the preschool department next to the blue wall, we have a gift just for you. Today we have a special guest who is preaching. His name is Tim Williams. He is currently serving as the Director of Church Relations, and he connects churches with Stitch Ministries to find out better ways to minister to other people. So welcome, Tim. We are so thankful that you're here this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful, Lord, for the many blessings that you have given us. A day, Lord, that we can celebrate and praise your name. And Father, just give us strength and confidence and joy that's only found in you. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.
I will sing this song of gladness, give my praise to the fountain of delights. For in my helplessness, you heard my cry, and waves of mercy poured down on my life. I will trust in the cross of my Redeemer. I will sing of the blood that never fails, of sins forgiven, of conscience cleansed, of death. Savior, of peace I've come to know. Though my heart and flesh may fail, there's an anchor for my soul. I can say it is well. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. He is risen from the dead, and I will rise when He calls my name. No more sorrow, no more pain. I will rise on eagle's wings before my God, fall on my knees and rise. I will rise. There's a day that's drawn near when this darkness breaks to light and the shadows disappear, and my faith shall be my eyes. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. He is risen from the dead, and I will rise when He calls my name. No more sorrow, no more pain. I will rise on eagle's wings before my God, fall on my knees and rise. I will rise. And I hear the voice of many angels sing, worthy is the Lamb. And I hear the cry of every longing heart, worthy is the Lamb. And I hear the voice of many angels sing, worthy is the Lamb. And I hear the cry of every longing heart, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb.
I will rise when He calls my name. No more sorrow, no more pain. I will rise on eagle's wings before my God, fall on my knees and rise. I will
Come thou fount of every blessing, to my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Raise the mount, I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. I was lost in utter darkness, till you came and rescued me. I was bound by all my sin,
gracious Heavenly Father, we've come to your house with joy to praise and adore you this morning. As we think about the time of the service, we recognize that everything we have is a gift from you, and we follow your command to return our tithes and offerings. But Father, as we approach the Easter season, we realize even more that more than our material gifts from you, you have given us your greatest gift, the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us, Father, in this season to focus more on making him truly the Lord of our life. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. When children, individuals, and families seek help from one of Stitch Ministries' 9 ministries, not only are their physical needs being met, their hearts are being healed and lives are being changed. When children arrive on our Homes for Children campus, they're met with smiling faces and open arms from house parents and support staff. The Booth campus provides a safe, stable environment where they can mature, heal, and experience God's love for them while growing mentally, physically, spiritually, and academically. On our Marshall and Bluebonnet campuses, mothers and their children are given a safe place to call home while finding restoration from their past. Homes for Families is also a place for mothers to discover their purpose, learn life skills, grow in their relationship with Jesus, and ultimately become strong Christian women and mothers. Family counseling provides a refuge for children, individuals, couples, and families to come and address unwanted behaviors, unhealthy beliefs, resolve conflict, or recover from pain and hurt, all while learning how to grow in their relationship with the Lord. Stitch Ministries International is equipping volunteers to minister internationally to children and families, which enables them to share the love of Jesus through construction, food delivery, vacation Bible school, and medical and dental clinics. The lives of the individuals and families on the trips are transformed as deeply as those they serve. Faith and Work and Faith and Finances are discipling men and women by providing tools to help them better understand God's purpose for their work and their finances. While the courses address very tangible needs, the lesson of keeping God at the center of everything one does is a lesson that will affect every aspect of their lives. A healthy pastor leads to a healthy church, which is why Stitch Ministries Pastor Care comes alongside pastors to provide a supportive community to help them not feel isolated or alone in their ministry work. Through our Family Support Ministry, we employ a holistic approach to meeting the needs of children and families by connecting needs with resources. Ministry Consulting aids other organizations that are already in the position to meet the needs of children and families by providing expertise and resources to help their organization thrive. For over 70 years, Stitch Ministries' purpose has been to honor God, reach children and families with His love and truth, and to enable others to join us in this ministry. Visit stchm.org to join us in healing hearts and sharing hope today.
Good morning. It is good to be here on this foggy morning and to share a word of thanks with you. First Baptist Corpus Christi has been a vital partner in Stitch Ministries for many, many years. Now, some of you may be thinking, okay, there's a children's home thing, right? Yes. If you're my age or older, you probably have had most of your life
known it as South Texas Children's Home. But when we began to expand our ministries and expand the places of our ministries, we began to go by Stitch Ministries. And you guys in this church have been wonderful partners all through those years and in many different ways. We do address the problems that we face in families and the problems that kids face. You've been a vital partner in that. Just let me give you one bit of information that you probably don't know. Yes, we are a cooperative program, supported ministry, so Texas Baptist helped support us in some way. But more than that, we have received help from your church above and beyond your cooperative program gifts, not just your individual gifts that I know many of you have given individually, but through the years, in fact, for the last 40 years, your church has given to us above and beyond your cooperative program gifts $367,000. So what you saw on that screen, you had a hand in. You may not have known it. You may not have seen it until now. But it's been a part of what you've been helping to make possible. And you continue to make possible. Let me just give you some ideas of what all has taken place in that. Just in the past year. The first ministry we started after a children's home, that we now call Homes for Children, was family counseling, and we started it here in Corpus Christi. And Joanna Berry, who is a member of your church, was a big part of that in the early years. But this past year, you've enabled us to see over 3,800 people in a counseling setting. And that's not just here in Corpus Christi. That is from Houston to San Antonio to Victoria, where I live, to Corpus Christi, to Beeville, to some other locations, and now all the way to the Rio Grande Valley. You've had a big hand in helping us to expand as the needs of our day and our times have caused us to need to expand. Faith and finances, faith and works, the two counseling or the two money management courses and life change courses you saw mentioned. In the past year throughout our ministry, we saw 850 people come and go through those courses, which is not easy. But you've had a hand in that, and that's been here in your community and continues to thrive here as well. Our international ministry that Joanna Berry has helped to help put into place and continues to help that to thrive. Last year, we had a ministry touch on 15,900 plus people's lives. And again, you had a hand in that. You helped in that. You gave us a place to be in people's lives to share the love of God so that they can know and be changed by it. Now, if we get back to our children's home, our Homes for Children, in the past year we saw 164 kids who came through our doors. Now, there was never 164 kids there at one time, but through the year, and along with the kids that we care for in college. Now, if a kid graduates in our care from high school, and they want to go to college or to trade school, we will support them in that. We will pay for that. They'll enter into a program, and we help to pay for that. We do pay for that. So about 16 or 17 of those kids are college kids that you're helping to support right now. Now, some of you who have college kids are thinking, I could send my kids to the children's home. That doesn't work. I checked into it. It doesn't work. And then our Homes for Families, which is single moms and kids, which is fairly new, but also a second campus in the past couple of years is brand new. We saw and helped 106 moms and kids in the two campuses that we have, one outside Goliad, Texas, one outside Yoakum, Texas. A lot of change has happened. There's a lot of healing. There's a lot of restoring. There's a lot of transformation. And the biggest thing to share with you is that in that past year, we saw 213 people come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You helped us with that. You were a part of that. So thank you for that. Let me say a word of thanks to your pastor today as well, to have this opportunity to come and to be here while he is away and taking care and helping pastors. That's part of my role. I don't care for kids. I care for churches and pastors and make that connection. And so I have seen your pastor do amazing things, particularly after Harvey. And now he has an incredible ability to rally pastors around and help them to be ready to help their churches and to help their people. And that's what he's doing right now. And I'm grateful for the opportunity to be here today to share all of this with you and more. If there's something else you would like to talk to us about, if you want to talk to us about family counseling, international ministries, whatever we've mentioned here today, Joanne and I will be at a table here down the hallway near the nursery and near your guest area after we're done, and we'd love to talk to you more about that. But thank you for being a church that helps us to change lives. We did a relook recently of our life and of our ministry and kind of redid our logo, but at the heart of it, we see three things that God continually does. And these are not things we do. These are things we see God does. And as it mentioned, our mission is to honor God by reaching children and families with God's love and enabling others to join us. So in that, we have looked at that and trying to rethink that and make it clear again to us. And we see God is continually healing. God is continually doing his work of restoring. God is continually doing his work of transforming people's lives. That's what I want us to look at today. So if you've got your Bible, if you want to look into your bulletin, in Luke chapter 5, starting in verse 17, we see a picture of that at work and how God worked through the life of one man and his friends, and he changed this life. We see the different things that God does, and again, as we look at this story, as we look at our story, this is not something we do. This is something we get to see done. This is not something we work at. This is the work that God does. And he goes about this in different ways. He usually, and in almost anything you look at, there is a sense of there's some sort of healing physically, spiritually at the heart of it. There is some sort of sense of transformation, and there's this sense of restoration, and we see that in this. But let me just ask you a question as we think about brokenness today. I won't ask you to raise your hand, but how many of you are sitting there and the screen on your phone is broken? And you don't get it fixed because you know you're going to drop it and it's going to break again. Okay? I won't ask you to raise your hand. How many of you are sitting next to somebody who is that way? And they just live with a sense of something's broken all the time. How many of you drove up today and there's a crack in your windshield? And you keep thinking, I need to get that done, I need to get that done, I need to get that done. How many of you like me? Now, I grew up in an era when things broke. You could take it to somebody who could fix it. The electronic stuff, the little stuff. Now you just throw it away and get a new one. But how many of you have something electronic that's broken that no longer works, and it's just sitting in your house because you can't bear to throw it away? And so we live with this sense of brokenness about things that, yeah, we need to do something about it. We ought to do something about it. I don't know what we can do about it. How many of you have a broken relationship in your life today? And it is the burden of your heart. How many of you would say, my family is broken? I mean, we would say, I'm broken. And for the sake of this, you know, brokenness can be, that term could be used in a lot of ways. What we're going to look at today and think about today is just the effects of sin upon all of our lives that leads us to a sense of brokenness, a brokenness that only God can heal, but also how he does that. So let's look at this story and see what we can learn today. Luke chapter 5, verse 17. One day, Jesus was teaching. This is probably in the area of Capernaum. Pharisees and teachers of the law, who had come from every village of Galilee, which is around Capernaum, and Judea, and Jerusalem. That means the big guns are there. I mean, the people who are known are there. They were sitting there. And the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralytic on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. when they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd. Other gospels kind of point to it was the religious people who were in the way. But because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles in the middle of the crowd right in front of Jesus. Now, we've read this story before, but let's just think about that happening in your own home or in your church or in some other place today. This is not normal, okay? This doesn't happen all the time. But it happened here, and these people are watching this, and they're trying to figure out what is going on. And then we see Jesus. Verse 20, when Jesus saw their faith, that is the people who had brought him there, and perhaps this man, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And they were right about that. And that's the point Jesus was making. Verse 22, Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your heart? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Immediately, he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. God, we come today and we thank you that you want to work in our world and in our lives in this day, in this time. And we come to you today praying that you will show us how you want to change our lives, how you want to heal, and how you want to transform, how you want to restore. Show us that today. We come also mindful, Lord, that there are brothers and sisters who are trying to meet today in towns in the Texas Panhandle. And they've lost homes, and they've lost businesses, and some have lost friends. And there's a lot of broken lives there from the fires. And maybe even some churches. We don't know. But we pray, Lord, you would remind them that you are there, and you are there to heal and to help. You are there to restore. You are there to transform this awful situation into something only you can do. Just like you are in our lives today. Show us that power and help us to trust it today, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, if we break this story down in what we've talked about, yeah, Jesus came that day to heal. He came that day to bring new life. Now, this is at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. He's still calling disciples. You'll see the story before and after this. It's about he's calling his disciples to follow him. So this is all kind of new to everybody. He has done a healing or two. So when we say that Jesus is there to heal, you know, this is not a thing a lot of people have seen, but it's gotten word all the way down to Jerusalem that the big guns have come and everybody around, and they're there to kind of critique this new guy and what's going on here. And then these guys bring their friend. Maybe it's their family. I don't know. We don't have a name for him, but let's give him a name today. Can we do that? Will you go along with me in that? And this is not adding to Scripture. This is not his real name. But let's give him a name, a real good biblical name. Let's call him Rufus. Those of you who got it, explain to those who didn't get it at lunch today, okay? Rufus. He came through the roof. He's like one of us. Okay. You'll find that later in the Bible. You'll see that later in the New Testament. Some of you are still getting it. It's kind of a wave. It's kind of moving along. Rufus. So we don't know how Rufus got this way, how long he's been that way, but we know that day, they wanted to get him to Jesus. That day, maybe Rufus wanted to get to Jesus. And there were some friends who got him to Jesus. See, one of the things that we need to understand about finding healing and finding God at work in our lives is we need to understand that our connection to Jesus is what brings healing. He's our source of healing. And you see that there in the notes in your bulletin. He is our source of healing. He is the one who can heal us, who does heal us, who provides all of the healing that we need. And sometimes we have to go through some obstacles to get to that place of healing. Sometimes we have to go through some trials to get there. And I don't know how they decided, let's go up on the roof and tear a hole in it and let this guy down. Let's let Rufus down through the roof. Can you imagine that conversation? I wonder if somebody didn't say, well, I think this guy Jesus is a carpenter, so if we tear up the roof, maybe he can fix it and fix our friend. And so maybe we can get away with it. But however it was, they knew and made a realization we need to realize as well. Jesus is our source of healing, whatever it may be, inwardly and outwardly. So their task that day, let's just get him to Jesus. That's our task at Stitch Ministries. That's our task as a church. Our job is not to change people. We can't. It's not to fix people. We can't. There's no human solution to sin. There's only a God solution, and Jesus is the source of that solution. And that's where we find it. And if we're trying to get somebody to Jesus, that is a great work. But no, there's going to be obstacles. There's going to be things in the way. We may have to do some things that maybe we've never done before, and maybe some things that we've never seen done before. There'll be things we have to overcome. I stand here today as someone who in this past year has gone through a healing. Physically, over something I have struggled with for most of my life, and in the past years more severely. It's a rare kind of thing, and I'm not here to go into details about it, but I was told by many doctors and many people, there's nothing that can be done about this. I have this thing where spinal fluid leaks out into the nerves out of my back, and it was causing a great deal of problems in my life, and maybe even thinking I need to just retire and give up this work that I love because I can't travel, I can't sit, I can't be in meetings and different things, and that's kind of pretty much what I do. And after the last big doctor that we'd gone to in Houston who said, yeah, no, nobody can do anything with this, go home and learn to live with it, a medical friend in the community where I live in Victoria said, let me just see your stuff. I just think there has to be something that can be done. And she went through this and poured through this, and she met with me one day and said, you're having this and 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 this, aren't you? And I said, yes, how did you know that? And she said, I've just studied what's here and what happens when you have these cysts on your back like this. But more than that, I have found that there are three doctors in the United States who treat it, only three. There's one on the East Coast, West Coast, and there's one in Dallas. It turned out he was 10 minutes from where my daughter lived. And he had developed a surgery to address these things. And I had that in August, and it's been a life-changing thing. And I'm not here to say anything about myself. I'm here to say every healing Jesus does is unique. And almost everybody who had this connection with Jesus had to overcome obstacles to get there. And it was so important to have a faithful friend who was persistent. So if you've got somebody broken in your life, if you have a broken place in your family, stay with it. Don't give up. There is a way. If we can make this connection with Jesus, there is a way that he can bring healing. Yeah, not just physical, but at the heart of it, spiritual. That can change things. It has changed me. And I give Jesus credit for that because he worked through a faithful friend to find something I couldn't find. I wouldn't have found. I wouldn't have looked for it anymore. Don't give up. But there is a word there for us, and I need to say this. For those of us who are religious and those of us who do this kind of work, sometimes we need to ask, am I getting in the way of somebody else who's trying to bring somebody to Jesus? Now, that's not an easy thing to ask, and it's a dangerous thing to pray because he will show you. I've had to do that. And what he wants us to see is not so much to get out of the way, but join me in what I'm doing. This is something you may never have seen done before. It may not be happening like these guys are sitting there. This shouldn't happen this way. It should happen the other way. No, this guy can't be from God. And we critique each other and when we should be watching and seeing where God is at work and how he works. Maybe we're the obstacle. And we need to join God in what he's doing. That connection with Jesus is what brings healing. But we need to also see some other things in our time today. That there is transformation in this process. Now, these guys go through all this trouble. They tear the hole in the roof. They let their friend down on this mat. Don't think Sealy Posturepedic. Think something more like a hammock or something, or just this mattress that's kind of filled with straw and cloth around it, and he's been laying on it. It's his. They just brought him on it just as he was and maybe tied ropes around the corners, and they let him down. And then in every healing that Jesus does, there's awkward moments. And here is this awkward moment that they were not anticipating. They go through all this trouble to get their friend to Jesus to be healed, and he looks at him and says, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." And they may be saying, "Did we get in the wrong line? Is this the wrong house? That's not what we came here for. This is not what we ordered. We came here for healing. Sins are forgiven." But maybe in Rufus, something connected. Something had to connect to see what happens later. But immediately, Luke goes to, okay, there's all these guys around that were really in the way, keeping this guy from getting to Jesus. But then he looks and knows what's going on in their heart. And he wants to do something that is greater than what they can see. He knows and understands, and the reason he made that statement is in all of our lives, our greatest brokenness comes from sin. It's not a physical ailment, though. Those can be troubling, and those can be impacted by different things, spiritual and physical and emotional. But this brokenness that comes from sin is the thing that Jesus wanted to address because he knows that's the biggest need this guy has. His paralysis is going to be temporary compared to eternity. And the eternal brokenness of the relationship that sin has caused between he and God, between us and God, has brought us to this place where we need a healing, we need a transformation that only Jesus can provide. And he can say, because he was trying to make to the point to these, only God can forgive sin, yes, and that's why I, the Son of Man, am saying to you, your sins are forgiven. Now, there's something to note. This is the first time Jesus refers to himself as the Son of Man. The Son of Man. First time. And he takes on that name. He could have called himself a lot of different things. And you read through the Old Testament, you see there's some mention of this in Daniel and Ezekiel. But there is this place where Jesus comes and said, "I want you to know me and who I represent as God in the flesh. I am the Son of Man. I experience what you experience. I know the pain you know." He was, as the New Testament says, tested at all points, just as we are, and yet without any fault. And so that you may know that the Son of Man has the power to forgive sin, what's easier, to say your sins are forgiven or get up and walk? So he takes what is temporary to show them something eternal. He takes something that is largely physical to show them that there is power over the physical and the spiritual. And he takes something that's outward to show I can do something, a transformation that is inward in this man's life. Now that's what we all need. That kind of transformation. When a kid or a mom and her kids come into our care at one of our campuses, they never come from a good situation. It's always bad. And I'm sure, because all of our campuses are kind of out in the country, as they're driving 8 miles from the Dairy Queen in Pettis, Texas, as a kid, to go to the campus for our homes for children, they may be thinking, they're about to take me out here and leave me on the side of the road like a dog they don't want anymore. What, I don't know what they could be thinking, but it's out in the brush. But when they get there, they see it's like this whole subdivision of homes, all of them for a place for a kid to go into with a married couple to show them love, God's love. We don't do the transformation, He does it. And He understands where they're at, and He makes moves in their hearts, in their lives. And if you are in this place of brokenness, you may be going down a road that you don't see where you're going or how this is going to work or what God is doing and why He's doing what He's doing. But let me just ask this. Is the Son of Man working on the sin in your life? Is that the biggest point of what you want Jesus to do? If it's not, you may be missing the greatest thing He can do. Don't miss it. Don't miss something only He can do. He's not here to make you a little bit better. He's not here to make your dreams come true. He's not here to make you a stronger person, though He does all those things. He's here to make you a different person. My favorite line from the writings of C.S. Lewis is the little statement, you sometimes hear at Christmas, the Son of God became a man to enable men to become the sons of God. And that's what He wanted to do in this man's life. It's what He wants to do in Rufus's life, in my life, in your life. Not make you better or different or stronger. Though that happens, He came here to make you different. And that's where the stronger and the better and the different comes from. It's a transformation. It's something only He can provide and something only He can do. And He wants to do that in your life. Are you letting Him? Oh, it may seem like you're going down a road that I don't know how this is going to work. They're sitting there, they've heard what Jesus has said, and they're wondering, okay, is this really the right thing? And your sins are forgiven. But He could say that because He already was in the work of paying for all of that sin and all the problems that it brought. And He could look at Rufus and say, your sins, all of your sin, they are forgiven. But I'm going to tell you more. Get up. Pick up your mat. And then we need to get to this last thing and look at it quickly. There's a little phrase that didn't jump out at me till this week. After he said all that, he said, and go home. And it even says, Luke says, he went home. I can't help but believe there is some sort of restoration that needs to take place at home. If nothing else, just the fact that they will praise God, he's up and around, he's walking, he can move his limbs, he is not paralyzed anymore. See, God wants to do something more than just make our problems better or help us to manage our problems. Jesus wants to redeem all of our brokenness, to redeem it all. He wants to break our brokenness, basically, and bring into our lives something that fixes it and changes it. And immediately, this man has a mustard seed size faith that moves this mountain, and he is able to get up and walk. And more importantly, able to go home. See, one of the things that we have to do when kids come to our care, when moms come into our care, when people come in counseling, is just to deal with the brokenness that's in their home and the restoration that needs to take place in other relationships and other lives and other people. Yeah, when a kid comes into our care, there are times we have to really work with them to see what normal is because they've never seen it. We need to help these moms know what normal is. They've never seen it, most of them. So what do? We point them to Jesus, and we allow Him to do the work only He can do. That's what He wants to do in your life. He wants to break the brokenness and fix it. Let me just close with this. That is a story of how God also did all of this in one little girl's life. I was pastor of First Baptist Church in Kennedy, Texas for 9 years. And in that time, a large number of the kids from the children's home from Homes for Children came to my church. And I was supposed to come to Vacation Bible School and talk to a group about how to memorize Scripture. And in that group was Myra. Now, Myra had come and was new to the children's home, and I and some others had been told, okay, Myra came from some really bad situations. I mean, unspeakable things. Many of you may remember there used to be a children's shelter here in Corpus Christi, and she came through that, and that meant she was forcibly taken away from her parents, and probably it was to the place where her parents' rights to have her were taken away. And it was just said, we don't know how she's going to respond. She's been through a terrible trauma. And so in this group, there was Myra, and I'm watching, and I say, okay, how many of you can say a scripture from memory? And after the fourth time I heard John 3:16, I said, okay, who knows a scripture other than John 3:16 from memory? Don't worry, I'm not going to ask you that today. Myra was the only one who raised her hand. I thought, okay, where did she get this? Where did this come from? This is new. She hadn't been with us very long. And I said, okay, Myra, what verse do you know? And here are her exact words. My life verse is Psalm 27:10. And then she looked at me like, you're the preacher. You're supposed to know what that is. And I said, okay, Myra, tell us what Psalm 27:10 says. And Psalm 27:10 says this, though my mother and my father forsake me, the Lord will receive me. And every adult eye who knew Myra's situation looked at me like, what are you going to do with this? But I looked at Myra, and there was this peace in what she had just spoken over her own life. There was a healing. There was a transformation. There was a restoration going on. And she didn't stay with us very long because a distant family member heard about her situation and brought her into their home. But I know that God had begun all of that in her life. And that's what God wants to begin in your life today. Now, your biggest problem, like Rufus's, like Myra's, like mine, is your sin. And only Jesus can fix that. But he's already fixed it. What we need to do is to receive what he wants to give to him so that he can give his life to us. Have you done that? You can do that today. You can take the next step in that today. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you are a God who changes us. And we confess as many things as we need help in or we want to be different. It's our heart and our soul and our mind that needs to be changed. And only you can do that. Thank you, Lord, that Jesus is here to do that today as well. I don't know what it means for us to go home from this place today, but help us not to go home until we have received what you want to give. And we ask for your help in doing that in Jesus' name. Amen. In our time of response, John and Stephen are going to be here. I'll be here at the side. If you need to pray, if you need to talk to somebody about this relationship with Jesus, if you just need to say, before I go home, I need to talk and pray with somebody, we want to help you today. Let's do business with God. Let's stand together. Let's follow him.
God is so good. God is so good. God is so good, he's so good to me. He cares for me, he cares for me, he cares for me, he's so good to me. I love him so, I love him so, I love him so, he's so good. I praise his name. I praise his name. He's so good to me.
You may be seated. Just some announcements for you. Next Sunday is everybody times change favorite Sunday, right? Yay, you would get the leap forward. So, just a gentle reminder, to leap forward in your time and be here on time, hopefully. So set your clocks for that. The Arise and Run, you can sign up for the world famous Arise and Run. Make sure you talk to Chris. There is a booth out there that you can sign up with. And so that will be a fun time together. And also just a reminder that Modern Worship Service launches April 7th. And out there in the Welcome Center, there is kind of a mini ministry fair going on. So if you have some interest in helping out with the Modern Worship Service, I'm sure they would love to use you. So make sure you go out there and talk to them, and they will give you a lot of information regarding to that worship service starting April 7th. Tim, thank you very much. I think he left, but thank you for being here today, and we'll pray, and then you are dismissed. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day that you have given us. Just bless us and use us, O Lord, and we pray this in your name. Amen.